The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so I'm in the studio, all ready to go with my good friend, Dr. Sam Horn, for a deeply theological, deeply intelligent Theology Thursday discussion. Back in the book of James, we're going to be talking about believers behaving badly. We're going to look at worldly wisdom and the faith practice gap. And Sam's got a lot to say about this. So this is going to be highly intelligent conversation for those that pay attention to the scriptures. But we're going to regress for just a moment. And instead of having a highly intelligent conversation, we're going to have a highly, well, probably a high volume, high level of words per minute conversation with our good friend Stu Epperson Jr., the founder and president of Truth Radio Network. Stu, baby, how you doing?
Fantastic, brother. Listen, I hate to bring the IQ level down on this amazing national, international radio show, but I happen to have lunch. I already brought the IQ level down at lunch today with Dr. Horn, and I'll let you guys talk about that after I'm gone. But that guy, I'm telling you, the campus of Bob Jones University, beautiful, leaves were changing, and so uplifting and so encouraging. And so I'm just, you know, you guys are going to have a great time on the show today. I'm just telling you.
But, well, that was because Sam's there, though. That wasn't because you were visiting. It seems like you're implying that it was that way because you're visiting.
I know. I thought Stu was taking all the credit there for a second.
Stu's taking all the credit.
Listen, I just showed up and I just listened because there were a lot wiser minds in that room. And Sam, what a great lunch. And Big Stu was there. And we were in town. Of course, we wanted to see Sam and Dr. Pettit and what God's doing at Bob Jones University, and we're on our way now to the Von Secours Wellness Center, the giant auditorium coliseum in the middle of Greenville, where Dr. Jeremiah is going to be speaking. Great music, great fellowship, great time, and thousands of listeners from all over on his radio network, his radio talk, listening to us right now in Greenville, the upstate, all across the great Steve Noble Truth Network stations that carry this wonderful program. So we can't wait to see everybody, and we're about to head over that way. And Steve, I just wish you guys were here. I wish you were here, man.
Can people still go? Can people just show up, or what do they do if they're like, well, I didn't know Dr. J was in town. I want to go see him.
No one will be turned away. There will be plenty of seats. If you want to go to davidjeremiah.org, you can still just click in. I want 5 tickets, 2 tickets, 10 tickets, whatever, and they'll email you right back your tickets to know you're coming. But there will be room. It's okay. There will be room for folks for what we call walk-ups,
cool.
Folks,
yeah.
Last minute, go grab a bite and come out. The doors open at 5:30. Event starts right around 7, and it will. I'm just telling you, we were in Raleigh a couple weeks ago, packed house, the PNC Arena. So many Truth Network listeners came up to us. It was such a blessing just to hear God's word. It's just so refreshing. You know, this is post-COVID. People are coming out again. Of course, we're being careful and all that. But, man, it's just awesome. And I'm going to tell you, Steve, this is, we need to do more of this. We need to get together. We need to hear God's word. We need to encourage each other. And I just want to encourage everyone in the upstate, anyone within range, driving range of Greenville, South Carolina, maybe going south toward Atlantic, you can come up toward Asheville, maybe, you know, our Charlotte folks, you get in your car and head toward Greenville and come to this wonderful event with Dr.
And David the doors open at 5:30. And what's the name of the arena again?
It's the Sam, how do you pronounce this thing? You got to help me out.
Bon Secours. Yeah, it's the Bon Secours Wellness Arena.
Bon Secours Wellness Arena.
And it's got to be named after Sam Horn's favorite Bible character. I mean, it's got to be, Sam.
Yeah.
Can you give me a chapter and verse on that?
I think they should just rename it to the Bob Arena or something like that.
Goodness.
Keep it simple. All right, so doors open at 5:30. They're in Greenville. Dr. Jeremiah tonight. That'll be awesome. And that's it. Anything else, Stu?
Well, I just want to, I tell you, the two people you folks are about to listen to on the radio right now are going to be, I'm going to get out of the way and let them do their thing. I'm so honored and encouraged. Sam's been a mentor and friend for years. What else can I say about Steve Noble other than he's thermonuclear? And you guys are awesome. I love you, and I'm going to hang up so I can turn you on the radio right here.
All right, pal. Love you, too. Thanks for calling, buddy. All right. God bless you, too. Have a great time tonight. That was great. That was good old Stu Epperson, Jr. What went wrong there, Sam? I mean, you mentored the guy.
Well, you know, sometimes your mentor ends up mentoring you.
Ah.
I just have so much appreciation for him and his family and what they've done for the cause of Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the joy of being a teacher. Your students often and usually go way further than you would ever go. And that's certainly true in Stu's case.
Yeah, he's a dynamo. Always great to hear from him. Well, before we run out of time, because we're going to spend time back in the book of James as we've been doing the last few months, kind of set this up. I mean, I can do this all day in terms of talking about how bad things are in the body of Christ, whether you want to look at Barna Research just a couple of years ago, only one in four Americans are even a practicing Christian. And when you say that, the bar is pretty low. Like, I went to church once in the last 4 weeks. This one's even more alarming. This was a more recent one coming out of Barna, the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. Only half of evangelical pastors even possess a biblical worldview, Sam. It's really bad out there. But you and your wife experienced this doing some summer programs, didn't you?
Yeah. So for about 23 years, we spent 6 weeks every summer investing in high school students that were juniors or seniors. And it was a biblical worldview, a 2-week camp experience, and it was stunning. These are kids that grew up in Christian homes, a lot like the ones that, you know, we're raising our kids in, and they went to churches very similar to the ones that many of our listeners go to. These are kids that, you know, would say, I want to go to a biblical worldview camp, and they would get there, and it was stunning to see the gap between what they believed, or at least what they professed, and how those beliefs actually shaped their behavior. And I don't think it's just teenagers. I think it's all of us. I think the stunning thing that we're talking about today is how do we account for this huge gap between what we profess to believe and how that actually shows up in our behavior?
Yeah, and that's the challenge for not only when we talk about younger people, but Christians kind of across the board, and where we have worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom, and what do we do with all that? The book of James, obviously, is a major challenge. It's a big old bucket of cold water thrown in our face. That's just the reality of James, the Proverbs of the New Testament. That's why it's my favorite book in the New Testament. It's just right at it, and we're going to do that with Dr. Sam Horn today on Theology Thursday, Worldly Wisdom and the Faith Practice Gap, or if you prefer, Believers Behaving Badly. This is Steve Noble with Dr. Sam Horn. We'll be right back. Christian organization. Talk about it later. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary today, but back in the house with Dr. Sam Horn. We were getting some levels adjusted, so if it sounded a little off in the first segment, we apologize for that. But we should have everything in good shape now. We're walking our way, as we have been doing for the last few months, through the book of James. Today, various passages of James, which we're going to walk through, Sam, in this kind of understanding of worldly wisdom and the faith practice gap. Meaning, what do you know about Scripture, and then what do you do with it? Kind of, are we living out what we know? Where are you getting your wisdom? And for the younger you get in today's world, the more this is going to be a challenge, because our kids are being inundated with extra information. You go to church, you know, four times a week, whatever. I don't really care. You're not going to make up the time, because they've got 16,000 hours butts in the seats when it comes to education. They got at least another 16,000 hours, and I'm just talking kindergarten through 12th grade. So that's an operating system that the world is that's building into them through their AirPods, their iPhones, their computer time, their video games, their music, whatever. And you could go to church 4 hours a week, and you're not going to get anywhere near that kind of time. Okay, so it's a little bit more complicated than that to just say go to church more. This is about learning how to think correctly. And so do you have worldly wisdom, or do you have godly wisdom? And Sam, you were saying you and your wife for years did those summer leadership development programs, and kids coming out of Christian homes, they're like, yeah, I'm a believer. I have a Christian worldview. But then you would run into all kinds. It's like a big piece of Swiss cheese. There's all kinds of holes in their faith, but let's kind of start with this whole notion of this false wisdom, and that's the worldly wisdom versus biblical wisdom.
Yeah, so we talked last time, you know, a couple of weeks ago about wisdom being like the operating system
right.
of your life. Like we have an operating system that drives technology. Well, God has given us wisdom. That's an operating system. And the other illustration was it's like a transmission that drives behavior. Mm. And I think the big thing, you know, if we're talking about how it works on the street, I have this incredible belief in the inspiration of Scripture, which most of our readers would nod their head to. But there's a gap between the what I believe about the inspiration of Scripture and whether or not I'm willing to let that Bible be my authority and shape my behavior.
Right.
And so that's what James is talking about in verse 13. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? So we're all looking for wisdom. We all want to be wise people. He says, if you're a wise person, let your good conduct be how you display the wisdom that shows up in your behavior. In other words, if I'm truly wise, wisdom is going to drive behavior, and it's going to drive it primarily in my conduct. And that's exactly where James goes. He talks about how our wisdom is going to, you know, when we submit, that's the idea of meekness in that text. When we submit to the wisdom of God, when we actually follow it, it shapes our behavior. And when we don't, when we go to the other wisdom, it produces all kinds of horrific behavior
right.
in our life. James describes it this way, every vile practice. So think about the stats that we were talking about before, you know, that show up in pastors not having a biblical worldview, or in the immorality that is so prevalent even in Christian circles.
Yeah, Christian men viewing porn. And now amongst the youngest generation, Gen Z, a lot of them think that porn actually isn't a problem. There's nothing
Correct.
Wrong with it. It's just kind of natural.
It's just a choice.
Right.
It's a choice. I'm making a choice. As long as I'm not hurting somebody.
Sure. I'm good.
Then it's good. And, you know, when a pastor gets up and starts talking about how our Bible should drive our behavior, it's like, well, okay, you don't have the right to come in and tell me what to do.
Right.
That's the Holy Spirit's job. And the Holy Spirit's not telling me I shouldn't watch this, or I shouldn't say this, or I shouldn't put this in my mouth, or I shouldn't go here, or I shouldn't go there. And all of a sudden, you've got this massive gap in people's behavior. And they're looking around at everybody else and saying, now I'm wise. I'm a wise person. And I know God, and I follow God, and I go to church. But when you look at their behavior, there's this massive gap.
Yeah.
And it's actually a wisdom gap. And that's, I think, where you know, James is coming. He goes, your gap is in which wisdom you're following.
No, my wife and I had a conversation just recently with some other folks, and we were talking about something in this realm, that generally this conversation, and talking about kind of spiritual maturity. And some people, you know, if they're fairly new believers, it's like, how much theology do you have right to get saved? The answer to that is not much.
Correct.
And then after that, now you've got sanctification. And some people, Sam, is it possible that if you're a newer believer, how can you be possibly aware of the great breadth of the wisdom that the Bible gives us about all these different aspects of human behavior? So do we need to grade a little bit on a curve here, Sam, since we're both teachers, and say if you're younger in the Lord, okay, you're not going to know as much. You're going to be still in a more shallow part of the pool. But as you become more aware and that wisdom is available to you, obviously, then you become more responsible and then more stuff gets on the radar screen. Am I making sense?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And I think it's driven by a new nature. Like when you get saved, when a person truly is born again, they get a brand new nature.
Right.
And that nature now has to choose an operating system. And the flesh that's still with us has been consistently using the old operating system, and it's cultivated a ton of desires and a ton of ways to justify those desires. You know, some people are just thrilled at the idea of getting away with something.
Right.
So, man, they don't need to steal.
They love
they
the
risk.
They
don't have a financial right. need to steal. But it's the thought of, I'm going to get away with this.
Wow. Yeah,
right.
Man.
Or they like to lie. And they just love the idea of deceiving somebody or whatever behavior that our old flesh wants. Well, now as a new creature in Christ, there's something in me that should recoil at that.
Yeah.
I don't have to learn that behavior, right? That's innate. As a new creature, I may not know how to deal with that. I may not know how to figure out how to get out of it, but there's something in me that ought to recoil
right.
at that.
Yeah, because there's a new sheriff in town.
Correct. And there's a new life, right? There's a new heart.
Right.
And so moving from the old operating system to the new is where the wisdom gap lies. And here's where it shows up in my mind. even if you're just a month old in the Lord, something changes about your disposition. James says, in the meekness of wisdom. Mm. And the idea there is that I've changed my spirit toward God and toward his word. I may not know beans about his word.
Right.
I may not know 2 cents worth of soteriology. I might not have a clue what, you know, hamartiology, the study of sin is, or eschatology that everybody loves to talk about. I may not know a clue about any of those things, but I do know this. I love God, and I don't know much about his word, but whatever is in that word, I want to get to know it.
Yeah, the spirit
that's the idea of meekness.
Yeah, the spirit is testifying to you.
Correct.
And you have a new nature. Now you've got Christ in the game. That's why I said there's a new sheriff in town. And before it was just your conscience, which is like a yellow light, and you can blow right through that. But now you've got the spirit of Christ inside of you. And now this is when things get real. I mean, the battle gets real here. We're talking about our own flesh and our old nature. But one thing I want to talk about when we come back, Sam, and you can just set this up real quick, that the ultimate source of this quote-unquote false wisdom, the world's wisdom, even the wisdom of our flesh, the ultimate source isn't that Satan himself?
Yeah, so obviously wisdom from below is coming from somewhere, and it goes all the way back to the garden. Mm. You have a set of words that God gave to Adam, and you gave another set of words that Satan put in front of Eve. And those two words, those two wisdoms, are coming from two very different sources.
Yeah, wow.
And that's the same place it comes from today.
Yeah.
So let me give you an illustration. So let's say you're an unsaved person living with your girlfriend, and the gospel comes across your path, and you get saved. And you haven't even been thinking about living together.
Right.
And nobody said a word to you about it.
All of a sudden.
But you start reading your Bible, and all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh,
yep,
I got to think about this
starts
now.
To convict you of your sin. We're talking to Dr. Sam Horn. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our good friends at BJU Seminary, talking to our buddy Dr. Sam Horn today, still in the book of James. We've been working our way through that one. Sam's on about once a month, really throughout the course of the year, and it's such a rich book. There's so much in there, but it's I would call it uncomfortable, Dr. Horn. Would you not?
Yeah.
The book of James is rather uncomfortable. He doesn't, no kid gloves in James's toolbox, and he just comes right out with it. And even when he's talking about, and we've did a show on this before, just the power of the tongue, and it's a demonic source of chapter 3, verse 14. It's set on fire by hell. That's subtlety. James is so good at subtlety. You know,
he's just brutal.
Set on fire by Satan himself and right from the pit of hell. And it's really tough stuff. And we're talking about false wisdom, the world's wisdom in combination in league, if you will, with our flesh. And you got all that on one side, but then when you're saved and you're born again and converted, then the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus comes. You got a new sheriff in town, and now you've got the battle at the OK Corral, which becomes kind of unfortunately, a fairly normal part of life, which you should get better at as you get older and as you become more sanctified and more like Christ. But the battle is still there. So we've been talking about kind of the negative sides of it all, Sam. And do you want to say anything more about that before we kind of move to James's solution?
Yeah. So, for example, when you think about how James opens the book and he says, be swift to hear, be slow to speak, be slow to wrath. And then he says, the reason you need to be really slow to anger is the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Rats.
Right here in this passage, we're 2 chapters later. James is saying, when you operate off of the wrong wisdom, it fuels 2 really bad things in your life. It fuels something called bitter envy or bitter jealousy. And the word for bitter and jealousy is the word zeal. It's the idea of white hot passion. It's like when you see somebody lose it because they are so angry at something that has happened, or they want something so badly and it's not coming their way, they just lose it. You know, you've been in a store and here's somebody and he's trying to get something from the person, and the person's not going to bend, or maybe you're at an airport and you're trying to get your flight changed and that person's not bending, and then all of a sudden the person in front of you just loses it, right? They are just, and this is what James is talking about. The wrong kind of wisdom will put you in a place where the thing you want doesn't happen. You will just lose it. Mm. You'll be driven by this anger, and the anger is fueled by selfish ambition.
Wow.
I want something that God isn't giving me, or God isn't giving to me, giving it to me now. I want him to take this away from me. I want him to cure me of this. I want him to give me that position. I want this financial thing to change, or I want this unjust thing that's happened to me.
Some aspect of my relationship, some aspect of my marriage, whatever.
Bingo, whatever it is. And God's not doing it. And so the wisdom from God isn't working. So I'm going to have to go to somebody else's wisdom.
Plan B.
And think about what happens in a marriage when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or think about what happens at our job when we do that. Or think about what happens in a political context where we're so angry at what's happening that we lose it and we make it worse.
We certainly saw that. You mentioned this on the break, Sam. We certainly saw that in the last 2 years with COVID and masking and shutdowns and all that stuff, which I'm not minimizing any of that. If anybody's gotten kicked off YouTube and violated on Facebook and blah, 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 over and over again for saying things like, I don't know, radical things like the COVID shot actually isn't a vaccine, then it's been me. But we give way to that, and when we can't change the culture, we can't change the way the administration is, then we lose it. And then, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, we lost it on each other pretty often.
Yeah, right. And again, I just want to be clear. We have certain rights that God had graciously, by common grace, given us in this country.
That's
we should exercise.
Yeah,
we should exercise our right to vote. We should exercise the right to free speech.
Yep.
We do need to speak the truth.
Amen.
And so whether it's truth about the vaccine or truth about a particular policy that is being foisted on the country, we have every right to speak. But even as we speak, our speech has to be driven by wisdom from above.
Right. Amen.
And the thing that's hard about this, you talk about the solution as we move into that side of it now. Part of it is recognizing where this wisdom comes from and what it's marked at. James says this, he says, this is not wisdom that comes from above, but it is earthly.
Mm.
It is unspiritual. It is demonic.
Wow. Yep.
I mean, when I start looking at this wisdom for what it really is versus what I've sort of fooled myself into thinking it is, well, you know, it's just me. I'm so frustrated. I just can't take it anymore. So, I'm just got to speak my mind, or I've just got to take things into my own.
Yep.
And I probably got a little overzealous,
whatever,
you know, and all of a sudden James says, well, let me tell you something. There is an earthly wisdom. You are doing the very same thing that the people you're frustrated are, because the wisdom they're operating from is coming from the same place. It's earthly.
Right.
It's an earthly wisdom. Psalm 1 says, do not listen to the counsel. Put it this way. Do not listen to the wisdom of unsaved people.
Yeah, there you go.
And here I do it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I can't get my way through prayer. So now if I could just sling a bunch of negative mud at you, I can get my way.
The world's always got another solution. And that goes in, we mentioned the tempter earlier, Satan himself. Did God really say, I mean, he's right there scratching it, you know, putting his hand on his chin and rubbing his little beard going, did God really say that? I mean, come on now. I think that he's really just jealous. I think he doesn't want you to know what he knows. It doesn't sound like a great God to me, and so you should take some matters into your own hands. And then your flesh is like, you're right, man. Yeah, this is a bogus deal.
So that's exactly where James goes next. It's earthly, and then it's unspiritual. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's fleshly.
Right.
It feeds your flesh. Your flesh is going, know what? I know exactly how to solve this problem. You know, you new man, you new man guy, you're all about prayer. You're all about patience. You're all about meekness. It's not working. So get out of the way.
Right. Yeah.
Let me take the wheel for a little bit.
Yeah,
I can solve this problem.
Yeah.
And your flesh is like thriving on this.
That's right.
And at the end of it, when James peels it all back, he says, let me tell you exactly who's driving this. It's demonic. This tongue that you just used, the fire that it set is a fire that came from hell. It's like, whoa.
Right. So in doing so, when we're using worldly wisdom, we're actually drawing near to Satan.
Yes.
And the opposite end is the solution here we're after, which is you got to draw near to God.
And that's where James goes, right? So when I've been operating this way, the first thing I've got to do is I've got to come back and I've got to meditate on God's word and I've got to submit to it. And the first piece of submission is I've got to let the Spirit of God speak truth to me. I've been so busy speaking my truth to everybody else that I don't like, trying to get the thing I want done. And eventually God's going to sit me down and he's got to say, now I need you to be quiet and I need you to let my spirit talk to you. And my spirit's going to talk to you out of my word. Here's what I said to you. You need to be swift to hear, and you haven't been. You need to be slow to speak. You've been running your mouth.
Yeah.
And you need to be slow to anger. Everything that's been happening is coming out of frustration. It's coming out of anger or irritation. And look at what it's produced. It hasn't produced my righteousness. It hasn't produced my righteousness in your life.
That's right.
Or in this circumstance.
Our anger does not produce the righteousness of God.
And so you need to draw near to God, and then you need to humble yourself. Mm-hmm. And you need to cleanse your hands, right? So sometimes that means I got to repent of a certain thing I've done. Sometimes I've got to go to a brother and say, look, I did the wrong thing here. I said the wrong thing here. And God is convicted of me. Will you forgive me? That's really hard.
Yeah.
It sounds super nice on a show like this, but when you actually have to do it with your neighbor, that's tough. It's even harder when you have to do it with your wife or your kid. But sometimes you got to do that. Cleanse your hands. Unify your heart. What's that mean? Purify your heart. That simply means this. Bring your heart back to single-mindedness. Don't be jumping between the two wisdoms anymore.
Well, that's the double-minded man,
exactly.
Unstable in all his ways.
So everything that's going on in chapter 3 and chapter 4 has its roots in chapter 1 and chapter 2. So these are the connections that we don't make when we just rip through James and we want to find the little practical nugget. James is actually connecting these big ideas. And the reason I can read James 40 times and walk away and behave badly is because I'm not connecting wisdom from above and wisdom from below to a unified heart. A unified heart does not adulterate the wisdom. So I've got this wisdom from God, and I'm like, well, maybe I'll mix a little wisdom from the world in this case, because I think I can get where I want to go. And I just adulterated the wisdom. And that's why in chapter 4, James looks at people who do this, and he actually calls them adulteresses.
Right.
You adulterated the wisdom. So how do I solve the problem? Well, first of all, I've got to admit it. And that takes a lot of humility.
And we'll start there. What does that look like to admit it, and then working our way through that? And again, that's the battle. Who are you going to trust? You're going to trust the world? You're going to trust the devil? You're going to trust your own flesh? Or you're going to trust the God of all creation, the only one that would take to a cross for any of us, especially considering that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You had no resume to present him, but he died anyway. What's your response to that reality? This is Steve Noble with Sam Horn. We'll be Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, as it is every week with our friends at BJU Seminary, as well as sometimes with Bob Jones University, right next door, right there on the same plot of land in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina. Just a reminder, like our buddy Stu Epperson Jr. was saying earlier, Dr. Jeremiah is in town tonight. The doors open at 5:30. Even if you didn't get tickets, which are free, you can still go, but I would encourage you to at least go online to David Jeremiah's website and register for that. If you just Google David Jeremiah, Greenville, South Carolina, you'll find it. It'll be easy. But the doors open at 5:30. You'll be blessed by that. And just, you know, he's still preaching strong, and I think he's 81 or 82 years of age. So a lot of Truth Radio listeners will be there, and his radio listeners down there in Greenville, South Carolina. So make sure you take advantage of that. Sam, Dr. Sam Horn is with us. And Sam, you mentioned a couple times, you've referenced this many times out of Psalm 1. Let me just read the first three verses. Blessed is the man. Now we're talking about worldly wisdom versus wisdom from above. Okay. And this all kind of comes back to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He, listen to this, here's the reward for you. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That sounds like a pretty good deal there, Sam. And that's really how our lives can look on a daily basis when we choose to act on the wisdom that's from above rather than the wisdom that's from below.
You know, that's actually where James is going with all this, right? I mean, he's presenting the two wisdoms, but the psalmist is presenting two pathways. Mm. And he's presenting the two pathways to a group of people who all claim to love God. These are the Israelites. If you ask them, who's your God? They would all raise their hand and say, Yahweh's our God. Right. God, Jehovah's our God. And so what's your book? Well, the Torah, you know, the Pentateuch, the Torah, the law of the Lord is our book. And Moses is the guy who gave it to us. But every one of those people has to make a choice. And so Psalm 1 is about a guy who made a choice different from all of the other Israelites around him. He decided that he was going to listen to a different counsel than everybody else. He decided that the different counsel was going to lead him to a whole different way of living than everybody else. And it was going to lead him to embrace a set of priorities and values than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so when he embraces this pathway, he ends up becoming like a tree. You mentioned it. But at the end of the psalm, it says this, whatever he does prospers.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is an amazing statement, right? So what is it that he does that leads him to this pathway of success in the eyes of God? And the answer is this. He meditates day and night on something that he loves. And the thing that he loves is wisdom from above.
Well, let me stop you there, because that's the test for all of us, is what do we meditate on?
That's exactly
or
right.
Or to change the word use, what do we marinate in? And mostly it's the culture. It's worldly wisdom. It's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Fox News, whatever. And that's why many times during the program today, Sam, I've thought about when I am starting my day correctly, I'm in the Word of God. This year I've been reading through the New Testament, and I'm using the gift. I've mentioned this to you before, that my son, our oldest son Hayden, gave me for Christmas last year, which was a church father's study Bible. So it's got all these notes in it from really around 400 to 700 AD from the church fathers. And when I start my day that way and spend time in God's word, it's like correcting the compass. But again, if that's 10 or 15 or 20 or even 30 minutes in the morning, you've still got the rest of the day that you've got this worldly, satanic, fleshly wisdom bombarding you. And then they go, what's your diet? What are you eating? Which is what's killing the majority of Americans, is how we eat. And the same thing's true spiritually. And so you think that your cotton candy meal of the Bible on Sunday for 30 minutes is enough. It ain't.
It's not. And I think that's where we've gone wrong, right? We hold the wisdom in our hand, and we carry it to church on Sunday, and we might even read it for 5 minutes in the morning. But the whole idea that James is talking about and that the psalmist is talking about is this: I am constantly thinking about how God's wisdom needs to impact how I think, how I behave, and what I value. So whether it's at work or in my marriage or with my neighbor, or trying to figure out where to go politically in the culture we're in, God's word needs to be where I go for answers. And that's the whole point to the psalmist. He's not just holding up the Torah and going, oh, I got the wisdom right here. He's actually thinking about it. He's actually spending time trying to figure out how that wisdom should shape how he speaks, how he behaves, and how he thinks. I do what I do, and I say what I say, because I think what I think, and I think what I think because I believe what I believe.
Yeah, there you go.
And so it's got to come down to the belief level. And the belief level has to translate into the behavior level.
Let me ask you one other question, because there's one other player in this that we haven't really talked about yet. And it's James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. As it is working, availeth much, in the King James. And so the role of one another, and this happens, Sam, when we're in the middle of a regular radio segment. It happens when we're off the radio air but still talking, and folks on Facebook Live can hear us. And by the way, everybody, we're getting a Rumble account up and running, because we got booted permanently off of YouTube. And so we're going to jump on Rumble. So we'll be there on Monday, just so you know. But that often happens as we're talking through the book of James and we're conversing off the air. Sam, is that, you'll say something or I'll say something, and it will affect the other one.
Yeah. And so we have to work, for example, together. You have shared things about what's going on in your family.
Yeah.
I've shared things about what's going on in my ministry. And I walk away from the program and I get in my car, and the whole way home, I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you.
Thank you. You
used to be a name of somebody that had a program, and now you're a friend.
Yeah.
Amen. And you're not just a friend, you're a trail buddy. And that happened because of the one anothering that went on even in this program.
Amen.
Christians were designed to need one another.
That's right.
And that's why that passage in James is so critical. What happens when I sin? I don't want to tell anybody. I don't want anybody in my business.
Exactly.
And so I can deal with this by myself. I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to hide it. And then I start distancing myself from church. I've noticed this as a pastor. Somebody's like all in. They've been to church. They're passionate. And then over about, you know, let's say they've been doing this for 4 or 5 years. And all of a sudden you start watching. They just back away.
Yeah.
They back away. And the next thing you know, they're not coming to church. Well, it's not always true. And you can't judge a person's heart.
Sure.
But more often than not, I've seen, as I've got into those kind of scenarios, Satan got in and there was some kind of an issue that took place. Mm-hmm. And rather than come to the body and rather than coming to brothers and saying, I need help, basically Satan got that sheep off by itself. Yep. And the next thing you know, destruction.
Yeah, you get out in the wilderness. The only person that can handle the wilderness by themselves is Jesus himself.
Exactly. And that's where most of us end up.
Yeah.
And that's why James ends with that wonderful passage. If somebody wanders off the path and somebody else goes after him and turns him back to the path, he saves his soul from sin and he covers a mountain of sins.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's what James said in chapter 2. So this book all fits together, and at the heart of it is this beautiful wisdom that comes from above, that if we'll just humble ourselves and draw near to God, God will give us the strength to resist the devil.
Here's
what happens to me. I want to resist the devil without drawing near to God, and I get nailed every time.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you can't take him on by yourself.
Correct.
Yeah, you just can't. Yeah, I don't care how mature in Christ you are, how many years you've been walking with the Lord. The devil's still more powerful than we are, unaided by a
walk. That's why I got to run to God. James says, draw near to God.
Yeah, and that's really it. Yep.
He will give grace to the humble, and he will raise up the lowly in due time.
Hey, I wanted to ask you before we run out of time. We've talked about this before, mostly off the air, both with some of the Ukrainians you've been ministering to and what God's been doing there through the church that you pastor at. But you have a need, and you just never know, Sam, when you're putting stuff out there on 35, 36 radio stations. You just don't know what God can do with that. But you have a need out there for a Ukrainian family. I wanted to give you a couple minutes to mention that, because you never know. There could be somebody listening to us right now that actually could help.
Well, Steve, I appreciate that. I think I told you there's a Ukrainian congregation, a Russian congregation, a Slavic congregation, rather, that I pastor on near our church in Anderson, South Carolina. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was a brand new couple that came from Ukraine as refugees. And they are looking for a place to stay. And so we've been trying to find some housing for them. They have another family member that's coming with some children. And so we're trying to find a couple or a family that might have an apartment or an empty part of their home that they would make available to this family for temporary housing till they can get, a job, and they can get all the documents they need to be in this country legally. So we're very thankful that they're here. They speak very little English. They are a precious, precious couple.
Wow.
And if somebody's in the Anderson, South Carolina area that would be willing to help, Sam Horn 2020 at gmail.com.
Yeah, nice and easy.
Is my email.
Just Sam Horn 2020 at gmail.com. Sam Horn 2020 at gmail.com. Anderson is right off of I-85. It's just south of Greenville, northeast of Athens and Atlanta itself. So if you know somebody, you perhaps yourself, anybody down there in that neck of the woods that would be willing to help, Sam Horn 2020 at gmail.com. Is that right?
Yep.
All right, brother.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. We'll pray with you in just a second, but always a joy to have you on. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.